Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu, Perek Chaf Bet, Chapter 22. Our Perek starts off with another Masa, just like it did in the Prakim before. This one is Masa Gei Chizayon, a Masa, some heavy words of rebuke to Gei Chizayon, which is a poetic name for Yerushalayim, and the subject of the first 14 psukim of this perek. This masa is different in that it is directed to the Jewish nation itself and not to foreign nations. Why is it called this? We have the word gay, which is a valley, and Yeshayahu, in a sense, is a valley surrounded by mountains. Harim savivla, mountains surround her. The word chizayon, from the shoresh of chaza, of intentional looking, since all come to gaze and look at the beauty of Yerushalayim. The Navi says, why is it that all are rejoicing on rooftops and not mourning? You are a kiryah, a city, aliza, that is happy. You're happy that people are dying, not by sword of war or in war, but in other ways, like starvation from siege. Very strange observation to be making to the people, that here they are rejoicing, yet it seems that they are in dire straits. The Navi is mocking the sense of relief they feel and trying to bring the people of Yerushalayim back to reality. He tells them in Pasuk Gimel, your leaders have run away and left the city. And therefore the Navi says in Pasuk Dalid, again, we see personal words from the Navi, just as we did in Perek Chaf Aleph, the trembling and the fear of the Navi. In this Perek, in Pasuk Dalid, Al Kain Amarti, the Navi says, therefore I have said, She'u Mini, leave me alone. Amarer Bavechi, I'm going to be bitter with crying. I'm going to cry bitterly. Al Ta'itsu Lenachameni, don't even try to comfort me. Al Shod Bat Ami, concerning what is happening, the devastation that is happening to my nation. The Navi wants to cry, and he can't be consoled. And what's interesting is, or what's ironic, is that he says, you, the nation, who I'm crying about, don't seem to realize what's really going on here. He emphasizes again in Pasuk Hey how Hashem is bringing this about, and Hashem's name is mentioned in three different formulations. In Pasuk Hey, we're told, La Doshem, Hashem, Tzvakot. So he wants to really drive home the point that Hashem is behind everything that's happening. Yeshayahu is mourning the lack of leadership and the mental confusion in the city, the breakdown of the structure of the city and everything that they have known. The people are mentioned in Pasuk Hey, the people of Kir and the people of Shoah, are nations that are mentioned also in other places that join the army of Sancheirev in fighting Yerushalayim. These enemies are breaking down the walls of the city. Some want to say that this is actually not referencing Sancheirev's time, but the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when this happened, when the walls were broken down prior to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. We're told Elam in Pasuk Vav is going to be carrying arrows and surround the city and in the valleys with chariots. Pasuk Chet talks about this masach, a cover, Vayagel et masach Yehuda. This cover over Yehuda is going to be revealed. Vatabet bayom hahu el neshek beit hayar. And on that day, they're going to see things. They're going to look intently and see what's happening, and they're going to turn to the weapons from the house of the forest. What does this mean? So we're seeing, the Ibn Ezra says that the word Vayigal here can be Hashem who is removing what was blocking the people from seeing what was happening in the city. And it was only then that they realized the true strength of the enemy. The Beit HaYa'ar could be a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, as we know that the cedar wood that built the Beit HaMikdash came from the Ya'ar of the Levanon. And we know we're being told here that it's being taken over by the enemy. And the Beis HaMikdash is no longer going to be able to provide protection for the people of Yehuda due to their sins. And therefore, they're being revealed. They're going to be vulnerable. How did the people react? So we're told, firstly, that the people of Yerushalayim went to get their weapons out of storage from the Beit HaYa'ar. I mentioned it could be the Beis HaMikdash. Others say that it refers to the Beit HaYa'ar that was built by Shlomo in addition to the Beis HaMikdash back in Malachim Aleph. And then we're told that they also repaired breaks in the wall of Yerushalayim in Pasuk Tet. And they gathered the water into the city. We're going to see this several times within the Sefer Yeshayahu, and it was seen, it's seen also in Divrei Hayamim with Chizkiyahu, that lower pools were brought into the city to make sure that they had a water supply. And some homes that were on the wall were destroyed to fix the breaks in the wall with the stones from those houses. So one thing we're seeing here is a lot of human intervention, and one thing that we're not seeing is recognizing to turn to Hashem and that this came from Hashem. And the Navi himself says in Pasuk Yud Aleph that they did all of these things, but in the middle of the Pasuk, we're told, V'lo hibatetem el oseha. You didn't turn, you didn't look to the one who created this, who caused all of this, to realize Hashem was behind it. You didn't turn to your maker. You didn't do tshuva. You turned instead to your weapons. So the word vatabet, we saw in a few psukim ago, we saw that they turned to their weapons instead of, in our pasuk yud aleph, turning to Hashem. Why? We're told viyotzra, because your creator was merachok, lo ri'item, right? God, Hashem, is far away, and therefore you didn't look there. You didn't look in the faraway places. You thought maybe Hashem's far away. Hashem's not involved. He's remote. Yet the Navi is trying to emphasize that Hashem orchestrated this punishment for you. He's not really far away. There's a lot of focus in these psukim tet through yud aleph, on what the people saw and what they didn't see. And we know that when we talk about seeing, seeing is understanding and really learning and integrating those lessons that they're supposed to. You focused on what was close and you didn't look on what was further and needed more effort to see. You were very short-sighted. You symbolically saw the holes in the wall of Yerushalayim, but you did not see the one who caused it to occur. And in Pasuk Yud Bet, we're told that on the day that the enemies take over the temple, Hashem wanted you to mourn and wear sackcloths and cry out and do tshuva. The three names of Hashem that were mentioned earlier are mentioned again here. Adoshem, Hashem, Tzvakot. And instead, Pasuk Yud Gimel describes how the people rejoiced over the human band-aids they created by patching up walls and searching for weapons. They're described eating meat, drinking wine, focusing on the physical while they are still living, because tomorrow we will die. Their gluttonous behavior seemed inappropriate at a time when there was a need for serious introspection. And therefore, as a result, in Pasuk Yud Dalid, Yeshayahu says that Hashem revealed to him that the sinful behavior won't be forgiven until they receive some punishment. V'nigla be'aznei Hashem be'aznei, Hashem tzvakot, Hashem revealed in my ears, im yuchupar he'avon hazelachem ad timutun, that this sin will not be atoned for you until you die. Amar Hashem tzvakot, the three names of Hashem mentioned again. This Masa resembles the Masa Yam from last Perek in that it also focuses on the partying taking place on behalf of the people who are about to receive a punishment and the pain of the Navi in relaying this message. In both Nevuot, the Navi has a poetic phrase and name for the subject of his Masa. Instead of saying the names Bavel or Yerushalayim outright, he uses the names Midbar Yam and Gechilazon, Chizayon. The Midrash on the Perek understands the historical context to be during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, as I mentioned earlier, while others on the Pshat level understand this as being during the time of Chizkiyahu when Sancheirev descended upon Yehuda. The leaders were intimidated by Sancheirev and his army full of other nations, and many ran away while the people of Yehuda prepared for a military confrontation. The Navi chastises them for their lack of bitachon. It seems they didn't strike the balance between having too much without any human intervention and having none at all and only focusing on the human component. What's interesting is that at the end of the story, they are going to be saved miraculously from Sanherib. We'll get there soon. And we know that this was promised to Chizkiyahu and came after he did take necessary steps to try to save the city. But this Nevuah is speaking to those who were uninvolved, and they're told that they will personally die due to their behavior. But the city will not fall. As the Perek said, the wicked people will die, but not necessarily by the enemy. It's interesting to note that Yerushalayim's destruction is not on the table. Yeshayahu did give over rebuke, even during the time of Chizkiyahu, who was a tzaddik, and did take Yeshayahu's words to heart, but not everyone else was able to. Or it could be that this perek was the first wave of Sanherib coming upon Yerushalayim, and then the people improved and were worthy of being saved in the miraculous salvation that we're going to see when he returns the second time. The second half of this perek turns to rebuke one particular person, Shevna. And it's unique that it's a nevuah directed to one person. Again, we start with the three names of Hashem that are mentioned again here, which ties together all elements of this perek. And that's again in Pasuk Tetvav, Pasuk 15. And Shevna in that Pasuk is called a Sochen, which has a very negative connotation. And we're told that Shevna was someone who worked in the Beis HaMelech, in the royal courtyard. The Navi finds Shevna by a grave that he prepared while he's still living and says to him, Malachapo, why are you here? What makes you think you deserve to be here alongside honorable people and that you'll be buried with these people? Because actually, Hashem is going to remove you from this place forcefully in the future and cover your face, and you will actually endure shame. Your head and your face are going to be covered in shame, and we're told, or he's told, that he's going to be like a kadur in Pasuk Yurchet. He's going to roll around from one place to another until he arrives in Eretz Rachavat Yadayim, a land that is wide with lots of space, which many understand to be either Bavel or Ashur, countries that are much more expansive than the land of Yehuda and flat, unlike Yerushalayim, as we mentioned earlier, is Harim Savivla. Shevna is going to go to exile like many Jews, and we're told he's going to die there. So there's no need to erect a grave here. In this pasuk, he's told that he's going to get his due honor in a little bit of a sarcastic way. Hashem will bring you down from your position, and it will be given instead to his replacement, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, who is considered and called an Eved of Hashem in Pasuk Chaf. He will become the father of the people and take care of their needs, and he will reign with mercy as a father shows to his children. V'haya le'av li'oshvei Yerushalayim, to those dwelling in Yerushalayim. He will be given the key to Beit David. Having the key is the one who will be in charge and responsible for all activity. And in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, we're told and we're given the metaphor that he's going to be like a tent peg that will be in a permanent position that will have stability, and he will reflect honor through all his actions. And then we're told, interestingly, that everyone in his family, in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, we're told everyone in his family will rely on him and trust him with their possessions. And then we have our concluding Pasuk Chaf Hey, where we're told in the end, the burden will be too much for Eliakim, and he will lose honor and respect too, just like his predecessor. We have the word Masa that appears here in this Pasuk, in Pasuk Chaf Hey, V'nichrat ha-masa asher aleha. The burden which is upon it will be cut off. Interesting, the word masa comes up here again. We're told that what Eliakim ends up doing will be heavy and serious, a masa. Ki Hashem diber. This is a gezerah being communicated by Hashem. What's missing from this nevuah is what Shevna did wrong in the first place to lose his position, and why Eliakim is a better fit for the job. Chazal teach us in Masechet Sanhedrin that Shevna wanted to hand over the city to Sanherib. He was ready to defect, and in the end wanted to surrender to him outside the city. However, Sanherib saw him come alone without an entourage and killed him out of anger. So although this sounds like treason, there's really no reference in the psukim to this act of treason from Shevna. According to the pshat, it connects to the first half of the parak, possibly that Shevna was the one who organized the misplaced partying in Yerushalayim and did not direct the nation towards Hashem. The names of Hashem being mentioned in threes, both in the beginning of the parak and in the second half of the parak, maybe link that together. It's unclear who exactly Shevna is, because there's another Shevna who is mentioned as a sofer, who's mentioned alongside Eliakim later on. And there's a machloket among the Balei HaTosfot about the identification of this person. Some say it was two different people, and some say it's the same person. Did he get demoted at this point in time, and then later on, this prophecy is fulfilled when he's sent to Galut to die? Or did he do tshuva, and the major punishment described here didn't happen to him, and he was just demoted? Unclear. The last pasuk in this nevuah is also perplexing, since we spent a few psukim building up Eliakim, and then only to bring him down in this last pasuk. And therefore, this last pasuk can be understood in different ways. Some want to say it's recapping the punishment to Shevna. We focus on him in the last pasuk once again. Although others say this is difficult because Shevna was not mentioned since pasuk Yotet. And the Yated HaTakua and the Yated Ne'eman, which is how Eliakim was introduced to us back in pasuk Chaf Gimel, comes up in pasuk Chaf Hei as well. So it seems linguistically to make maybe more sense that it is talking about Eliakim. If we understand this pasuk as indeed rebuking Eliakim, a general lesson that we can maybe learn from here is for people who take leadership positions not to get too involved in personal matters involving family and showing deference to family, because it can bring one down and compromise their integrity. To recap this parak, we have two distinct nevuot that share some similarities. The words malacha or malach are asked rhetorically in both the beginning and the first part and the second part of the parak, referring in the first part of the parak to the people partying instead of mourning, and in the second part of the parak to Shevna when he erects his matseva in the temple complex. Both parts of the parak focus on failures in leadership at the time for Yehuda and the emphasis on human efforts instead of turning towards Hashem. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.